This is a continuation of last Sunday's testimony of my commendation to the Lord's service. Actually, I want to carry on with what I did not finish last week, but because of time, I have to speed up and to skip a lot of slides. Therefore, my suggestion is that what I miss, I'm going to still place on my website so that you can have access to it. Now, I've got here a photo of my wife and myself on the day of our wedding anniversary, golden anniversary. Unfortunately, you cannot see. Why have I put this photo onto the slide? Because I must say that for the years that I served the Lord, from the time I was married, 1963, up to today, without my wife, I cannot serve the Lord at all. She was the one who maintained equilibrium in my life. I'm easily stressed, and I tell you, those ladies who are sitting in front of me, it's not easy to be the wife of a missionary, because you must resign yourself to a time of loneliness, perhaps even boredom if you cannot do the things that you want to do, because your husband will always be busy with preparation, and when you want to speak to him, say shh. So, ladies, be warned of this. This is indeed the role you will have to play. And I'm glad that my wife had been playing this important role, standing between the people and me. Now, I have got here also a photograph of the whole family. Last week, I showed you in three slides parts of my family, because I could not get them together, or I could not get a photo that will display them together. Today, I've got them all together, because yesterday, my son surprised me. In fact, thank you very much, all of you, for giving me the commended service ministry service last Sunday. My son, my daughter, had intended to come to surprise me. So yesterday, my son came to the home and showed his face to me, or to his mom as well. And we were surprised to see him. He had come all the way, and he's together with my daughter's son. So my eldest grandson and my youngest son were there, and they are there with me today. They are here in our midst. And my daughter was supposed to be with me, and she already booked a ticket, an air ticket, to come here to celebrate this occasion with me. But she had to forfeit the airfare because she had something on in a church for which she had to stay there. I take this opportunity that this is a surprise to my grandson, and a surprise to my son, and a surprise to my wife as well, because I received this letter in lieu of the absence of my daughter. She wrote this, and I like to read this because I want to challenge the young adults, especially those who are going to get married, the kind of life that you should be setting up at home when you start a home. The letter starts, "Dearest Dad, it's wonderful that BRGH and the Penang Assemblies are celebrating your 20 years of service as a commended worker. I had planned to be here today to hear your share and maybe even to be part of the surprise. Unfortunately, the plan had to be aborted due to a change of date of a church event where my presence was needed. And I also heard the surprise happened last Sunday instead. Nonetheless, I would like to join the assemblies in rejoicing with you and thanking God for you, and also to share some thoughts on how you have inspired me through your life service to God, a life of fervor, faithfulness, and fruitfulness. I'm inspired by how you speak with fervor when it comes to God's Word. Many today hold you in high regard as a Bible teacher. So do I. I thank God for the many years of solid Bible teaching I have received during my younger days in BRGH. Now that I'm away from home, you continue to remind me to be grounded in God's Word. Through the Bible you gave me, the various resources to help Robert, that the husband, in his preaching ministry, and even what I've given him from devotional study. I'm inspired by how you serve with faithfulness wherever God placed you, as a teacher, principal, and lecturer in the school and college, as elder in Burmara Gospel Hall, a committed worker to other assemblies, and a fellow servant to the needy. As a child, I got to see firsthand how you wholeheartedly invested your time towards filling God's call in your different ministries to different ones and through different sessions of your life. I always see you put others' interests before your own. I'm inspired by your sowing results in fruitfulness. Indeed, many have been blessed by your teaching ministry, not to mention the rich resources you have made available in your Berita Bethel website to help others. You have also built a lasting spiritual legacy for your children and your children's children, which will not be broken. Our family continues to perpetuate the practice of family altar, which was imbued into our lives from young. Last but not least, I must also acknowledge the role of mom as the virtuous woman by dad's side. In your own quiet way, mom, you serve the church and especially your family so faithfully. You make many sacrifices because of us. You took care of our physical and emotional needs, hence allowing dad to focus on his ministry. I'm pretty sure dad would be quite lost without you. Indeed, dad's ministry is a joint one with you as a key partner. And that's very true. Without my wife, I could not do what I'm doing today. So even as I give thanks to God, so with the Lord, I thank you. I thank the Lord for all my mom, for the mom and the children and all the grandchildren with me. Right. As I pointed out today, my daughter's son is representing the mother here, and my son is here, and my eldest son also will be coming in 2 weeks' time. So my whole family, my whole set of children will be with you all. Right. I have got here a slide saying thank you. Thank you, saints at Burmara Gospel Hall, for the commemoration service in thanksgiving unto the Lord, for my 20 years of commended service last Lord's Day. There's a slide there to say thank you to all of you very, very much. And below, I put down there another big thank you for your gift of 4,000 ringgit, for the souvenir that you gave me, for fellowship, breakfast, and the cake. Now, I must thank you very, very much for your generosity, for your fellowship. I think this is one stage in my ministry in life where my relationship with the oversight is excellent compared to all the previous years past, where the oversight members have been very, very dear to me, very close to me, and I thank them for it. Now, what I have done is, this is supposed to be a thanksgiving unto the Lord. I must thank the Lord. And therefore, all that I get must not be used on me, or perhaps even on other people. It must be given to the Lord. And what I have done is, I have taken the 4,000 ringgit, I have given out to the other ministries. For example, I have given out 1,000 to Go Outreach Worldwide. I have given out 1,000 to Christian Missions Charitable Trust. Why to Go Worldwide? Go Worldwide was the inspiration for my mission ministry. Go Worldwide was the one where organized the first Malaysian missionary service at Life Chapel. And I attended that service and I was inspired. And Go Worldwide was formed at that time so that the history of Go Worldwide parallels my ministry unto the Lord 20 years. Two, three months ago, they celebrated their 20th anniversary, just as I would celebrate my 20th anniversary for the commendation service. Why did I give to Christian Missions or CMCT? That was among my early missions abroad, where I went to the CMCT and I was taken round to see all the ministries of CMCT. Then I also gave $1,000 or ringgit on behalf of the assembly here, of course, to New Hope Christian Ministries. Why? Because Mr. Roger was the one who was serving in Temerloh, and after he had left, I followed. And he is the one who believes in extending the kingdom not by brick and mortar buildings, but by using living stones to train local servants of the Lord to go out to serve. Then I escaped 1,000 ringgit also to Kottalam camping site, India. Now, I have a memorable time in Tamil Nadu years ago when I took a mission team to Tamil Nadu. And there they were very poor, but they were gathered together in a campsite that could, for the first time I was speaking to over 1,000 people. I could show you a picture of how well seated they are, but I cannot because of the technical problem here. But all of them were seated in that hall on the ground, listening to me for a few days as I spoke to them on the tabernacle. Now, these four ministries are very dear to me, and that's why I share the Lord's blessings upon me with them. All right. Now, let's go back very quickly. You would remember last week, with regard to my call, I told you that I was converted to the Lord 17 September 1950. 1 month later, I was already baptized, 22nd October 1950. And I told you after that, four themes were around my Christian life. I was concerned with four very important things. What were they? One, the will of God. The things that happened to me. Could it be a coincidence? Could it be a chance? Or was it God controlling the circumstances that I should all go through? The only open door, and while He closes all other doors. That we should be grounded on the Word of God to study it and to search the Scriptures if things are so. That we must do the work of God. And the work of God does not mean that it's separated from our career as a professional. That when God does not call you, as in my case, to be a missionary, He called me to be a teacher. That as a teacher, I was a Christian. As a teacher, I was serving the Lord. And the teaching profession was not separate from my being a Christian. My Christianity was in my teaching profession. And I was a Christian teacher. D, the walk of God. That my life, my walk with God must always be so constant to live a holy and separated life for the Lord. And so these four areas, I repeat, this is a challenge to the young adults. That as you come out to work, as you come out into the professional world to get a career, remember this. Always these four things should revolve around your life. the will of God, the word of God, the work of God, the work of God. And if you do these four things, you'll find that your life before the Lord will be excellent. Okay. Then, of course, my consecration. My call, then my consecration unto the Lord. How did I consecrate my life to the Lord? It was a time when I was doing the Emmaus Bible course. And while doing my Emmaus Bible course, I was doing Romans. And when I came to Romans chapter 12, the Bible course at that time was very difficult. And one of the questions was, write a thesis in 500 words about why you should give your life a sacrifice unto the Lord. I have got here a slide on Romans 12:1. And actually, if I would have liked to show it to you, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. How can the Bible have an impact in your life? In three areas. One, you must read it every day. This will refer to the daily devotion. Spend time with the Lord every day reading. Don't read stories. There are many devotional books, and among them are stories that speak to you. Go for devotional books that will bring you right to the Bible text itself. As I recommended you, the Daily Light, which is a compilation of all Bible texts. Secondly, not only your devotion, daily devotion must be strengthened. You must strengthen your scriptural study. Take time off to study your Bible as I did every Saturday with the Bible commentaries open. Study the Bible, take up a Bible course, like the Emmaus Bible course. Do it. Thirdly, build up a reference library so that you will have the tools to study the Bible. I know many of us will spend money on novels, but you come to my library, you cannot find any novel, because whatever I can spend on a novel, I will save that up, continue to save and save and save, so that I get enough money to buy a good textual commentary. And so if you want to really do the Lord's work, you need to see to these three areas. Your daily devotions, don't keep them up every day. And this morning, my wife and I had our devotion together before we came here. And that's what we'll do every Lord's Day. And that's what I did with our children. Secondly, make sure you have a scheme to study the Bible right through. So that today, if I should show you my Bible, I would like you to turn me to a page where you cannot even see any line or any notes. Every page in my Bible is underlined or I have written notes. Today, of course, it's different. Today we have got the computer Bible, all in the computer. But then, even then, let us read our Bible. And thirdly, let us build up a good reference library. Actually, I have got here many of the pictures that I would like to show you, but unfortunately I cannot. Okay, now let's start off with my commendation. Up to now, I have just told you, or continue what I told you last Sunday about my call. Now, my commission and my commendation. How did the Lord call me? How did the Lord call me? And why was I commended? One, we start with my commission. My commission is based on three things. And this is what young adults who want to serve the Lord or who want to go out to call a profession should consider. One, my convictions. Two, my circumstances. And three, my commendation, of course. All right. Three things that will guide you as to what the Lord's will for you is. Number one, get convicted from the Word of God. As you read the Word of God, you will know what the Word of the Lord says. I've got here a slide showing on the 13th of September 1995, the year before I was commended. I was studying Luke's Gospel. And as I was studying Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 4, verse 24 would come out, zoom out before my eyes. No prophet is accepted in his own country. I have to accept the idea, even as I served Balmoral Hall very diligently at that time. No prophet is accepted in his own country. Why? Well, we shall see later on. On the 14th of September, chapter 4, verse 43 spoke out. I must preach the kingdom of God to other countries also, for therefore am I sent. He preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 3. The people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, and he sat down and taught the people. And so we find that the second conviction for me was that I must preach and I must teach. Third, he said, launch out into the deep. I must go out, I must get out, and I must launch out into areas where I have never been before. Launch out into the deep. And on the 24th of October, I was reading chapter 10 of Luke, and it says, carry neither purse, nor bag, nor shoes, and in the same house remain eating. Leave the financial side, the financial provision of your ministry to the Lord. Don't worry about your money. Don't worry about what the Lord, whether you have money or not. So, four convictions. Now I'm going to show you how these four convictions govern my life in my 20 years of ministry as a commended worker. But first, let me show you again how I was, my call to the Lord and my commission was confirmed. I told you it was based on convictions from the Lord. Secondly, circumstances. Circumstances. Ask the Lord, Lord, open all the doors that you want me to go through and close the doors that you do not want me to go through. And for that year, 1995, suddenly I found myself without an assembly to go to locally. Oh, the assemblies in Bukit Mertajam, Butterworth Gospel Hall, Sungai Nibong, and even Island Glades, suddenly they never invited me anymore. For certain misunderstanding. And when they did not invite me, I was receiving invitations from outside. Outside. That's number one. Number two, in the same year, 1995, suddenly without having had this experience before, I received an envelope in my bag, in the bag in Balmoral Gospel Hall. Anonymous. Don't know where, from whom. And since that year, up to today, this month, this came true. One envelope and a special bonus. Why? 20 years of ministry, so inside there's 20 ringgit for me to remind myself that I had served the Lord 20 years. Now, this envelope had come into the collection bag every single year for 20 years and more. Can you believe that? No. Dear brother, dear sister, I do not know who you are. I only wish I know who you are, and I really go and thank you sincerely from my heart. But I don't know. You are very, very good in hiding yourself from me. I cannot recognize the writing. I do not know who the person is, but whoever you are, the Lord bless you. And I told our brother Chung Wing, brother, please make sure that when this envelope comes in, you always give to me. Because if you don't give to me, that is a sign from the Lord, it's time to retire. I'm not saying anything to any implication to the sister or brother who gives me this. But if you talk of faithfulness, I don't think I can ever be as faithful as this person here. Every month without fail, the person would give this envelope. Okay, so that's another circumstance. Right, thirdly, I would be making my first mission trip to Cambodia. And without telling anybody, suddenly a couple who had never given any gift to me before came up with enough money to send me off for the mission trip. So, and for that year, 1995 and 1996, I received numerous invitations from outside Penang to go and teach. For example, in April, I attended the first missionary conference. I had an invitation from Bandar Sunway. I came in Port Dickson. In May, I have a mission trip to Phuket and a trip to Sabah. June, I went to Glo Kai Ping. August, International Christian Conference in Singapore. September, the North Regional Fellowship Camp. December, Kepong Gospel Hall Camp. There was a list of invitations. Just before I had the Lord's commission for me confirmed. So the Lord had closed one door from the assemblies in Penang, but had opened the other doors outside the assemblies in Penang. And finally, there was the council. Convictions, circumstances, council. Get counsel from wise people, elderly people, those who can give wisdom to you to obey the Lord. Mr. Cook, for no reason or other, suddenly I was given a souvenir, an anniversary souvenir from Klang Gospel Hall. And in the editorial, he mentioned my name as a Bible teacher. In the Christian Missionary Conference in Life Chapel, he also said there are two missionaries at that time who can teach the word, and one from the south and one from the north. And from the north, he mentioned my name. From the south, he mentioned Dr. Peter Wee. And so, this sort of confirmed that I must go out to serve the Lord. Now, my commendation. Some people would query, why do you go out to do as a missionary when you have just retired? You have got a pension, and then you go out to serve the Lord? This is hoodwinking people. You already have something to depend on, and now you go out so that you can get extra. No. Now, two questions arise from this. One, why at this stage and age of my life, I have retired 4 years after my retirement, I felt I was called by the Lord. Is this scriptural? Moses was 40 years in the wilderness. Moses was on probation for 40 years. And Moses was commissioned at the age of 80 before he led the people of Israel out. I went through probation for 45 years from October 22nd, 1950, the date of my baptism, to October 16, 1995, the year of my commendation. So I also had to go through the 45 years of probation before I was called out by the Lord to serve Him. What difference does it make to me and to you being commended? I was the first missionary to be commended by a local assembly. Prior to this, there was no one ever commended by any local missionary in Penang. So, why now start the process of commendation? Well, number one is scriptural. Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the Church of Antioch. It is beneficial to both parties. Now, if you read Acts chapter 13 about this account, it said that these two brothers were very busy in the Lord's work, and then they were sent out by the church at Antioch. The word sent is not to send out, but rather the original is to release. These were very active people in the church. But the church, having heard that God had, the Spirit had called out these two people, released them. And the next verse says, the Spirit sent them. That's the word sent. And so, in my case, the church, the assembly at Bumrungrad Gospel Hall, released me so that I could go out and serve the other assemblies. So, it's beneficial for both parties. Third, it is sacrificial. In other words, the assembly sacrificed a worker, had been serving the Lord all the time, and I have become a drink offering poured out upon this sacrifice. A drink offering is never mentioned by itself, never mentioned alone. It's always been poured out as a libation on the sacrifice of another person. And so the assembly sacrificed me, as it were, unto the Lord. And I myself became a drink offering poured out unto the Lord. You can find this in Philippians 2:17, when Paul regarded his ministry unto the Lord as being poured out upon the sacrifice of the Philippine Christians. Right. Very quickly now, about my convictions. My career, so I put the word between commas, my career after commendation. What happened to me during these 20 years? Again, may I say this very humbly, this is the cheap clay pot speaking. Alright? There's nothing to boast about. It is all due to the potter fashioning the clay pot to be what he wants the clay pot to be. He must increase and I must decrease. But to show that he must increase, I must show how he increases in my life. So that you will know that all things are for his glory. Alright. First conviction. The prophet is accepted. No prophet is accepted in his own country. How did it come about? Conviction number one. Firstly, my absence from Bumrungrad Gospel Hall's Lord's Supper led to quite a number of problems. Because I had been called out, I was always absent, or many times absent at the Lord's Supper, so they hardly saw me. Now that had led to a number of problems with that oversight at that time. Not with the present oversight. I have very good relationship with the present oversight. They are, as I said, in my years of presence in the assembly, I feel that my relationship with the oversight at the moment is about the best. Alright, what happened with this conviction that I must be prepared to accept that no prophet is accepted in his own country? Whenever I came back to the meetings, I felt like a stranger because I saw new faces. And there were at times when I saw these new faces and I said, oh, hello, good morning, brother. You are the first time here? No, I've been here 2-3 months already. Where could I hide my face? I was a stranger, not this person. So, after that, after a few more experiences, I never asked anymore. Then, I had some speaking and misunderstandings with the oversight. As I told you, my meetings are arranged 1 year ahead. 1 year ahead. But the oversight Bumrungrad Hall would not like to plan their speakers program 1 year ahead. And they would plan according to the quarter. And because of that, anytime they wanted my services, sorry, already booked. So they were not happy with me. Until finally, I suggested, if that be the case, perhaps let it be a rule. Every third Sunday of in 2 months, I come. That was agreed. But then I also found a shortcoming here, because I could not do any teaching at all. I had to just comply with what they had in the program. So I suggested that we have two Sundays for me in 4 months. So that means you see me only 3 times a year. And that's the present arrangement now. And that's why last Sunday I was speaking and today also I'm speaking. 2 Sundays. And I see you 4 months later. So this is the arrangement with the present oversight which I think is very good. Right. Thirdly, because of my absence, I had to step down from the oversight also. I was an elder, but I had no time to go visiting, to do administration, so I stepped down. And therefore, it led me to be free of my pastoral responsibilities as well as my administrative duties. At the same time, very sadly, it also freed the oversight of remembering me. Those early years, I was never prayed for. You could check the prayer bulletin and bulletin, hardly any item of prayer for me. And if there was any item, it was just pray for Mr. Ang. He's preaching, pray for his health so that he will be strong to do his ministry. That's all. All were general remarks. So that was last time. But today is very good. Every week, the assembly would give me a copy of the bulletin to show me what is going on in assembly. That's why after that I started writing my own newsletter and my Berita Battle for prayer partners. Those interested in my ministry, I would then give to them my prayer letters. But those who don't, well, I just keep to myself, that's all. And anybody who still wants to be on my list, and it's volume number 20 already, you can just ask me and I'll send to you. Alright. That is conviction number one. To further confirm that a prophet has no honor in his own country, at that time, the oversight never made use of me. For example, I was never asked to conduct a series of teaching ministries that I would do so in other places. There are only a few occasions where this occurred, but generally hardly, because there's only one meeting given to me in 2 months or 4 months or 3 months. So, and also, I was never asked to form a Bible study class until very much later. With this present eldership, they asked me to start, but then I had already started previously in Sungai Nibong 10 years. Hardly many people from Bumber Hall Assembly were there. So I said, too tiring for me, so I stopped. So I'm very thankful. Today, I have this good relationship with the present oversight, which is a contrast to all the years I had been in my relationship with the oversight then. So now, come to my acquired feelings. How did I feel? I felt very isolated. I came to assembly, sometimes you would see me standing alone by myself. No one would even approach me because I was a stranger. Now, I do not blame these people because people have told me, Mr. Ang, you look so very fierce. Who will come to see you? Who will come near you? And it's very, very true. But those who had the courage to come and see this fierce animal before him or her, you know what they said to me? Hey, Mr. Ang, you're so cute. Imagine me calling old man cute. Mr. Ang, you look like a clown. That's what they said to me. Not only did I feel isolated, I feel that people were not interested in me and in what I did. I hope Mrs. Chua would not mind. Last week, I had the privilege of meeting Mrs. Chua at a supermarket. And we had a good time talking. That was, I think, the first time we really talked, really that intimately. And in the midst of the conversation, hey, Mr. Ang, you are so humorous. You are so humorous. Not serious, but humorous. That's her word used. So, I'm sorry. The Lord has given me a fierce face like this. But it's excellent, actually. Because in school, I just had to enter the class and everybody would be quiet. I did not have to say anything. Never had any disciplinary problem in my life as a teacher. I just stepped in, class quiet. Fierce face, but still have a tender heart. Conviction number two, very quickly. I must preach the kingdom. I must teach, and I must teach. That was my ministry. And so in my ministry of 20 years, I only taught. And these are the special areas where I taught. Eschatology. Typology. Yeah? Eschatology, the principles and prophecies, and so on. Typology, the tabernacle, the offerings, the feast of Jehovah. Bibliology, books, Nehemiah, Daniel, Zechariah, Revelation. Theology, God, man, angels. Ecclesiology, on church principles and practices. So these are my special areas of teaching ministry during the 20 years that the Lord called me out, where I went to the various assemblies to teach these things. I believe very strongly to learn is to teach. So I started Bible classes on my own. I started the BBC, which would be known as the Bethel Bible Class. And there are some of you who are here. In my picture here, I see a few members who are here today. And I also started a Bible class just for the leaders in all the assemblies in Penang at Sungai Nibong for 10 years. But unfortunately, few from Burbot Hall came. Alright. In the 20 years I was serving, I also had served the Lord in special spheres of service to Him. For example, I formed the Assembly Fellowship Camp, where bachelors and sprinters came together to serve the Lord, to learn about the Lord. Penang Assembly Partnership, I brought the assemblies together, the elders together, so that they consult one another. I brought about Mission Night, so that today, all that you know about the missions mostly came from the Mission Night. Conviction number 3, he said, launch out into the deep. Go. Before commendation, I hardly went out. I was all the time in Penang. But now, launching out in the deep, suddenly I had invitations to go out to these places outside Malaysia. For example, I took mission trips and mission teams to Myanmar, to Cambodia. And with me at that time to Cambodia was also Brenda Melai. In India, also Melai Ealing. And now, after that, they came back, they went out as missionaries. Went to Thailand, Vietnam, went for a tour of Central Malaysia and Southern Thailand, OA, Tamalo, and so on. So I started taking mission teams to these places. Then I also went on my own to Australia, to Korea, and I was invited to speak in the APEC, Seoul, Taiwan, Taichung, Indonesia, Salatiga, China, Nanking, Singapore, in Amokyo, and so on. I had also made individual trips to China, Japan, Israel, Turkey, US, and Belgium. And so the Lord said, launch out into the deep. And He had given me the opportunities to launch out into the deep. And that's why you hardly saw me during those years, because I was out serving. And finally, my international ministries. My ministries began to spread wider than the local needs to international needs. So what are the international ministries that I was engaged in during the 20 years? Well, I was speaking in international conferences and camps, and just now I mentioned to you about the camp in India, and I have already been invited again for 2017 camp in Kottalam. Speaking the word in the internet, spreading the word in internet. Internet became a medium for me to spread. What happened? One, I have a website. How did this website come along? The website came along from an ex-student of my Bible class who had migrated to the US. And he found that the teaching there was very shallow, and he missed the teaching, expository teaching that he had gained from the ministry in Penang. So he asked me, why not you send over, I sent over the messages, the studies over to him, and he will put on the website. And that's how, that's what it happened. That's how my website actually is sponsored in US. Then, today, for your information, I check it this morning only, there are already 21,450 hits. My son was telling me that these could be serious people who would visit my website, because my website is very dull, number one. Number two, the website contains deep materials. So, unless you are serious, you will not visit the website. Alright? Now, in my website, you will find it's called BattleBerita.com. Why Berita? News. Why Battle? My house. Then I have, of course, my Berita Battle, my newsletter. Then you have the various items in the website. I have no time to go through. Apart from my sermon outlines, now for example, this morning what I say will be recorded, and then it will be on my website. And that's why those of you who feel that you want to go deeper into what I could say, I have missed out at least 10 slides, and now all the slides in my PowerPoint, and also the notes, 5 pages of notes. You can read all these details in my website if you visit the website on Tuesday. I will send the materials there on Monday. Then, the next point is the rumination. What is this rumination? I believe strongly and am convicted of good participation in the remembrance of the Lord on a Sunday. And I started a devotion. Not a daily devotion, a weekly devotion to prepare people for the Lord's Supper, participation at the Lord's Supper, so that they will be able to take part intelligently and meaningfully. Now, this rumination is now in number 615 for today. Now, if you take 615, you divide by 50 weeks in a year, you come to about 12 years already. Every single week, I have been coming out with a rumination, a devotion for the Lord's Supper. And none of them is copied from anywhere. It's original, it's from the Lord. Alright. This rumination now not only appears on my website, it also appears in Facebook. You can also find this in Facebook if you go there. And then there is also a link to a Promise Box Audio. PromiseBoxAudio.com is a website that contains all the messages of all assemblies in the world. And I'm privileged to be included in that, thousands of messages in that website. The Lord is very good. So, from this clay pot, who knows nothing about technology, and especially a person who is already at the end, nearly 80 years old, starting to learn all these things again. And finally, I'm a contributor also to the script, to the toy screenings calendar. This is a yearly calendar that comes out. This is for 2017. It comes out, and I contribute towards this calendar also. It goes out internationally, sold internationally. So these are my international ministries. And with that, I finish with conviction number 4, that is carry no purse. Now it's wonderful how the Lord has provided for me all these years. I have never appealed for a cent to support my ministry. All my mission trips are never paid for by the invitees. India invites me. They don't pay for my airfare. They don't pay for anything at all, except in my stay in India. Likewise, Australia. The invitation was, you are now invited in faith So no money is dealt with. And all my gifts I receive from the Lord's people, I put into my Lord's fund, which I started when I was a young boy in 1950. Up to today, I have this Lord's fund. And from this Lord's fund, I would give out the money to various missionary organizations. As Bamara Hall had given me the gifts, I would give to others too, where there is a greater need. And not only for Bamara Hall, but for all other groups, assemblies, when they gave, and if I have extra, I'll give out to serve the Lord. So it is not in particular for Bamara Hall only that I use the gift, a very generous gift to me to give out, but all other assemblies as well, that where I feel I need to give out. The Lord provides. So my last slide, I end with this. Join me in giving the Lord thanks and give God the glory. This morning, you are invited for a small thanksgiving. It cannot be compared to the generosity of what you did for me last week. Thank you very much. But with a little token, I assure you, what I save, I will give to the Lord's work. Thank you very much for listening to me and for your patience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy goodness, faithfulness, thy greatness, thy supremacy. Thank you for blessing this assembly at Bamara Gospel Hall. Thank you for the believers there, here, who have been so fervent and faithful, not only to you, but, O Lord, to me as well. Thank you very much for all thy goodness that thou hast shown through them to me. Thank you, Lord. I give thee thanks. And now as we go for our Thanksgiving breakfast, we pray, Lord, it may be participated in remembrance of thy goodness to thy servant. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.